ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपाकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। नमो पंकजनाभाय नमो पंकजमालिने नमो पंकजनेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रे। हरे कृष्णा। वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 22 एंटाइटल्ड द मैरिज ऑफ कर्दम मुनि एंड देवहूति टेक्स्ट नंबर 20। प्लीज रेस्पॉन्ड। यतो भवद् विश्वमिदं विचित्रम् संस्थास्यते यत्र च वावतिष्ठते। प्रजापतीनां पतिरेष मह्यम् परं प्रमाणं भगवान अनंतः। यतो भवद् विश्वमिदं विचित्रम् संस्थास्यते यत्र च वावतिष्ठते। प्रजापतीनां पतिरेष मह्यम् परं प्रमाणं भगवान अनंतः। यतो भवद् विश्वमिदं विचित्रम् संस्थास्यते यत्र च वावतिष्ठते। प्रजापतीनां पतिरेष मह्यम् परं प्रमाणं भगवान अनंतः। Hare Krishna. Yataha, from whom abhavat, emanated Vishvam, creation, idam, this, vichitram, wonderful, samstasyate, will dissolve, yatra, in whom, cha, and, va, or, avatishtate, presently exists, prajapati nam, of the prajapatis, patihi, the Lord, eshaha, this, mayam, to me, param, highest, pramanam, authority, Bhagavan, Supreme Lord, Anantaha, unlimited. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The highest authority for me is the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom this wonderful creation emanates and in whom its sustenance and dissolution rest. He is the origin of all prajapatis, the personalities meant to produce living entities in this world. Purport. Kardama Muni was ordered by his father, Prajapati, to produce children. In the beginning of creation, the Prajapatis were meant to produce the large population, which was to reside in the planets of the gigantic universe. But Kardama Muni said that although his father was Prajapati, who desired him to produce children, actually his origin was the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu. Because Vishnu is the origin of everything. He is the actual creator of this universe. He is the actual maintainer. And when everything is annihilated, it rests in Him only. That is the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam. For creation, maintenance and annihilation, there are the three deities, Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara, Shiva. But Brahma and Maheshwara are qualitative expansions of Vishnu. Vishnu is the central figure. Vishnu, therefore, takes charge of maintenance. No one can maintain the whole creation but He. There are innumerable entities and they have innumerable demands. No one but Vishnu can fulfill the innumerable demands of all the innumerable living entities. Brahma is ordered to create and Shiva is ordered to annihilate. The middle function, maintenance, is taken charge of by Vishnu. Kardama Muni knew very well by his power in progressive spiritual life that Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, was his worshipable deity. Whatever Vishnu desired was his duty and nothing else. He was not prepared to beget a number of children. He would beget only one child who would help the mission of Vishnu. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, whenever there is a discrepancy in the discharge of religious principles, the Lord descends on the surface of the earth to protect religious principles and to annihilate the miscreants. Marrying and begetting a child is considered to liquidate one's debts to the family in which one is born. There are many debts which are imposed upon a child just after his birth. There are debts to the family in which one is born, debts to the demigods, debts to the pitas, debts to the rishis, etc. But if someone engages only in the service of the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, who is actually worshipable, then even without trying to liquidate other debts, one becomes free from all obligations. Kardama Muni preferred to devote his life as a servant of the Lord in Paramahamsa knowledge and to beget a child only for that purpose, not to beget numberless children to fill up the vacancies in the universe. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Mishwaram Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామిని. నమస్తే సరస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశ తారిణే వాంఛాకల్పతరూభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్యైవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార్ శివాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. యోంత ప్రవిశ్య మమ వాచమిమాం ప్రసుప్తాన్ సంజీవయత కిల శక్తిధరా స్వధామ్నా అన్యాంశ హస్త చరణ శ్రవణాత్వగాదీన్ ప్రణాన్ నమో భగవతే పురుషాయ తుభ్యం. కథాంచన స్మృతే యస్మిన్ దుష్కరం సుకరం భవేత్ విస్మృతే విపరీతం స్యాత్ శ్రీచైతన్య నమామితం. హరే కృష్ణ, థ్యాంక్ యూ వెరీ మచ్ ఫర్ యువర్ వార్మ్ వెల్కమ్ టు మీ అండ్ ఫర్ గివింగ్ మీ అ ఛాన్స్ టు విజిట్ దిస్ హోలీ ప్లేస్ ద షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ కృష్ణ బలరామ్ అదా శ్యామ్ సుందర్ గౌర్ నితాయ్. ఐ ఫీల్ వెరీ బ్లెస్డ్ టు బి అమెంగ్స్ట్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ. ఐ హవ్ హర్డ్ సో మచ్ ఫ్రమ్ సో మెనీ డెవోటీస్ అబౌట్ ఇస్కాన్ అలాచువా అండ్ I never thought I would be here and I'm feeling so overwhelmed. And yesterday evening after the program I came back, I was feeling very emotional also to see so many senior devotees who have served Srila Prabhupada in the same place. I liked what Chaitanya Charan Prabhu said that, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Arjuna tells that in the universal form chapter, that wherever I see, I see Krishna. Krishna is here, Krishna is there, Krishna, Krishna everywhere. Similarly here we see Srila Prabhupada disciples everywhere. So it's so beautiful, it's a beautiful sight. We feel blessed. So I can offer my gratitude. Thank you. This is a chapter on Kardama Muni and Devahuti's marriage. And we'll discuss briefly from this and maybe we can have some thoughts and realizations from all of you. There are two very interesting points, themes that stand out in this purport. One is about how Lord Vishnu is the maintainer, and for maintaining our devotional service, Lord Vishnu is the one whose shelter helps. And the second theme which I would like to focus upon is about our debts to the family. The debts to demigods, we have debts to the pitas, the rishis, but all of that is dissolved if we completely surrender to Krishna. And this is a very interesting theme because many times we are confused about our obligations and duties. But the Bhagavatam emphatically declares that if we just offer ourselves to Krishna, then we are not obliged to anybody and to anything. Now there are two aspects to this theme. Can devotees simply believe that, okay, I'm just serving Krishna, I don't need to do anything for my well-wishers, my parents, my ancestors, you know, I just have to focus on Krishna. So we'll look at this philosophically and also emotionally. Now there is a philosophical reality and there is also an emotional reality. The philosophical reality is, yes, the scriptures are emphatic. Like Srila Prabhupada would often quote this verse from the 11th canto, one of the most famous verses, 23rd chapter, verse number 41, which says that a devotee is not obliged to anyone. Do you know this verse? Very famous verse. Yes, devarshi bhutaptanam pitranam nakin karo nayam rinicharajan sarvatmanayash sharanyam mukundam parihartya kartam. Not obliged to anyone, devas, rishis, pitras, just surrender to Krishna, because they are all parts and parts of parcels of Krishna. So if you are serving Krishna, they are also pleased. Now the context of this philosophical reality is also very, very interesting. The 11th canto, the second chapter, begins with Maharaj Nimi asking questions to the Navayogendras, the 9 saintly personalities. So he tells them that human life is very rare, but more rare than human life is to get association of pure devotees. He says, Durlaba manusho deho, dehi naam kshanabangura, tatrapi durlabam manye, vaikuntha priyadarshanam. It's very difficult to get human form of life, and even if you get human form of life, it can end any moment. And more difficult than human form of life is to get association of a pure devotee. So I've got association of all of you 9 saintly personalities. Please instruct me. And then one of the 9, Sri Havis, he starts instructing Maharaj Nimi on the 3 types of devotees. This is also second chapter, 11th canto, 45, 46 and 47, where he says, the pure devotees, sarva bhuteshu yaha pashyet bhagavad bhavam atmana, bhutani bhagavad atmani esha bhagavatottama. He says, a pure devotee of Krishna will see Krishna in the heart of every living entity. And he will also see everyone as non-different from Krishna qualitatively. And then Havis explains about second class devotees, where we all are aspiring to be at this stage and struggling to be at this stage. He says, a second class devotee is one who manages to handle and navigate through 4 realities: Lord, devotees, innocent people and envious people. Ishvare tad adineshu balisheshu dvishastucha. How does he deal with these 4? Prema, maitri, kripopeksha, samadhyama. This is a second class devotee. He will love Krishna. With Krishna, he will have loving relation, prema. With devotees of Krishna, he will have friendship. And with those who are innocent and ignorant, he will have compassion. And those who are envious, he will avoid them. So basically, we are getting practical instructions in the Bhagavatam on how to recognize devotees, how to live with devotees. And then he speaks about the lowest devotee, the third class devotee. He says, such a person is very expert in deity worship. He may have faith in deities. Archayam eva hare, pujamya shuddha eyate, nachatad bhakteshu chanyeshu. He doesn't know how to deal with devotees and non-devotees. Such a devotee is prakrita. He is a third class devotee. And after all of this, then there's one more Navayogendra, one of the 9 devotees, saintly personalities, is Prabuddha Rishi. He tells Maharaj Nimi, now that you know who is the highest, take shelter of the highest devotee. Tasmad gurum prapaddeta jigyasu shreya uttamam, shabda parecha nishnantam brahman upasamashrayam. Just take shelter of Krishna. Pure devotee who knows 2 things, who knows the conclusion of scriptures, who also knows Krishna, and who is detached from material affairs. After reading all of this, one will be convinced that, okay, I have to surrender to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is my savior. Srila Prabhupada is recognized in the Bhagavatam. And the beauty of Bhagavatam is, Bhagavatam not only recognizes Srila Prabhupada like this in these verses, Srimad Bhagavatam goes one step further, because Bhagavatam is read by all Vaishnavas, not just Hare Krishna devotees. Even in South India, devotees read Bhagavatam. Even Pushti Margis read. So Bhagavad Gita separates Hindus from other religionist people. But Bhagavatam separates amongst Hindus, it separates Vaishnavas from non-Vaishnavas. And amongst Vaishnavas, Chaitanya Charitamrita separates Gaudiya Vaishnavas from the other Vaishnavas. So Vaishnavas, we read Bhagavatam and we are like, yes, Krishna is great. But after glorifying the importance of surrendering to pure devotee, another of the nine Yogendras, who is Karbhajan Rishi, he says, such a pure devotee will glorify Krishna and also a special incarnation of Krishna. This is the fifth chapter of the 11th canto. He says, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam Yagye Sankirtana Praya Rajantihi Sumedasa. Krishna will come in Kali Yuga in a golden complexion and intelligent people will serve him. And then, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then very poetically, towards the end of this chapter, Karbhajan Rishi glorifies Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very poetically. Tektva sudushtaja surep sitaraja lakshmim dharmishta arya vachasa yadagadaranyam maya mrigam daita ep sitaman vadavad vande mahapurushate charanaravindam. He says, this personality, Lord Chaitanya, he gave up what is most difficult to give up, the goddess of fortune. And because of the words of a Brahmana who cursed him, he gave up all material life and he ran behind those souls who are chasing after Maya to save them. So basically, Mahaprabhu's sannyas is glorified. So we are so fortunate that we are part of a mission where Srila Prabhupada is not only a pure devotee who is established ISKCON and given a shelter, but we are connected to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the whole parampara. And after all of this description, the finally Karbhajan Rishi says this verse, which I quoted in the beginning. Devarshi Bhutapta Nanam Pitrinam. If you have taken shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada, you don't need any other obligation. So this is the philosophical reality. This is the context. This is where in the Srimad Bhagavatam it is encouraged for us to completely surrender to Krishna. Now, let us also understand the emotional reality. The emotional reality is, you know, when I was new devotee, I was very impetuous and yes, just surrender to Krishna. Everything is Maya. But now as I'm getting older, I'm 54 and I feel I should have dealt better with my parents. And yeah, Krishna takes care, but then suddenly Prabhupada, some purports start making sense, which I ignored. Like in the first canto, 19th chapter, you know, Parikshit Maharaj, he was protected by Krishna when he was in the womb. I mean, he doesn't have any obligation towards anyone. His life is controlled by Krishna. And when that incident happens, where he puts a snake on the neck of Shamik Rishi, he comes back feeling extremely repentant. He could have justified saying that, well, I'm the king. I've done nothing wrong. In fact, Srila Prabhupada justifies Parikshit Maharaj's action. But Parikshit Maharaj is repentant. And Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport a very beautiful sentence which hit me very hard just recently. Srila Prabhupada says, repentance is a sign of a good devotee. Just simple sentence, but it hit me so hard. And then Srila Prabhupada says, just like fire burns off all dry grass, repentance will burn off our reactions. So it's not the external act of surrendering to Krishna, putting on tilak, dhoti, taking initiation, chanting 16 rounds. No, there is something more that is needed. We need to emotionally connect to Krishna. We need to have a sincere, repentant heart. Krishna, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm serving you, but maybe I didn't do the best thing with my parents or my ancestors. Maybe I'm not doing the best. I haven't done the best. But I trust you. I trust my relationship with you. And this became more acute to me because, you know, 3 months ago, one of our brahmacharis in our ashram in Chowpatty, we were three of us taking prasadam together. Just casual, informal conversation. And, you know, in our Chowpatty ashram, it's a little interesting. We have brahmacharis we have a large number of brahmacharis who have been around for more than 25 years. And a lot of the brahmacharis are also above 45 years of age. So it's like, it's not a young gung-ho brahmachari ashram. So one of my friends, we were taking prasadam and we started speaking about our parents and about the way we acted when we were younger. And he, this brahmachari is from a very wealthy family. In fact, when he joined, the Prime Minister of India, the Deputy Prime Minister of India, he called the temple, telling us that send him away. So he's a very wealthy person. His father was very wealthy in the North India and all of that. Anyway, he joined and he went home, but then he ran away and his father died. He couldn't take the shock. A lot of things happened. And now when we are looking back 25 years later, while taking prasadam, this friend of mine, he broke down. He said, you know, I didn't do the right thing with my parents. I surrendered to Krishna, but it was not fair. My parents gave me so much love. You know, I think I was mean. And he kept crying. And me and the other brahmachari, we could have told him all the philosophy. No, no, you surrendered to Krishna, you did the right thing. No, we knew that he needs to cry. He needs to have a good cry. We let him express, because he knows the philosophy. I don't have to tell him. I mean, he's one of the most successful preachers in our temple. So who am I to tell him that, oh, you have surrendered to Krishna, you're doing the best? No, he knows it. And as he expressed his heart, and then we shared silence for maybe 20 minutes, he felt loved. We felt redeemed. Just that act of, you know, repentance that, yeah, maybe we didn't do the right thing. But deep within, we also know it was Krishna's arrangement. There are two realities. See, when we are younger, we can't handle two realities. We handle only one reality. Oh, I'm in Maya. Then I'm surrendering to Krishna. It's binary, zero or one. But as we get older, we realize that we need to hold both realities together. I'm in Maya and I'm also with Krishna. I belong to Krishna. I belong to Krishna. And you know, when we are younger, we seek our worth through projects. I felt I'm worthy because I did 100 books a day. But now I realize that I'm worthy not because of what I'm doing. I'm worthy because I belong to Krishna. I'm worthy because of who I belong to, not because I'm doing so much. And to be in that space of belongingness, we need to have philosophical reality coexist with emotional reality. Yes, Krishna, I belong to you. I love you. And I'm sorry for the way I dealt with my life. But I trust you. So this keeps us humble. This keeps us grounded. And makes our heart soft. And that's the beauty. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami. You know, Sanatana Goswami, he walks from the longer route to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart just breaks to see the humility. He says, Tomas Parshe Pavitra Hoye Deva Munigan, O Sanatan, you don't want these pujaris to look at you? But the demigods, they get purified by touching you. Tatapi, and then Mahaprabhu says this famous verse, Tatapi bhakta swabhav maryada rakshan, maryada palana hoye sadhura bhushan. But still a devotee will follow the etiquette. He will have a soft heart. He will accept his mistakes. And that is the ornament of a devotee. And that's what Srila Prabhupada's mood is. Like today, just now, Mukhya Mataji was reading that pastime. Prabhupada says, I am bad. But because all of you are good, I am good. This is Vaishnava culture. When Dhruva is going back home, back to Godhead, the airplane has come. But Dhruva is saying, I want my mother to go back also. She's the one who gave me Krishna. And the Vishnudutas point out to an airplane for his mother. And Srila Prabhupada writes there that Dhruva's mother went back to Godhead because of Dhruva's devotional service. Similarly, this is a Prabhupada statement in the purport. Similarly, I pray that my disciple become so qualified that by their devotional service, I can come back to God. Considering oneself a lower and dependence on the mercy of devotees. Yes, I'm doing mistakes. I've done a mistake. I'm bad. But I'm not bad, you know, in the sense I belong to Krishna. Both realities have to coexist. We have to hold both realities. In fact, you know, there is this pastime in the Dhruva section
where Kubera comes to Dhruva. Kubera is the god of, he's the treasurer of the demigods. He says, I'll give you any benediction. Dhruva, ask. And Dhruva could have asked to be the wealthiest personality. But he says, just give me pure devotional service. And there, you know, Srila Prabhupada narrated this pastime when? This pastime from the Bhagavatam he narrates during the opening of a branch of a bank, Punjab National Bank. This branch was opened in the Krishna Balaram temple complex in Vrindavan. And the bank employees had called Srila Prabhupada to inaugurate the branch because ISKCON funds were being deposited there. Srila Prabhupada cut the ribbon, he opened that branch, and then he looked at the bank employees, the managers, and he said, all of you are representatives of Kubera, the treasurer of the demigods, because you're handling money. And just like Dhruva prayed to Kubera, I pray to all of you, please bless me that I can get pure devotional service. So this is the mood in which we practice Krishna consciousness. Yes, we are doing the right thing. We don't have to worry. Srila Prabhupada will take care of us. Mahaprabhu is there. But still that heart. Like Srila Prabhupada, you know, Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj's book, Servant of Servant. I was so amazed when I read it first time. There are at least 20 references to Srila Prabhupada being concerned about his wife of a previous ashram and his children. Like in the discussions with Tamal Krishna Maharaj is asking him, so are you keeping pension for my wife and for my children? So there's a fund that is made and Srila Prabhupada inquires about how his family will be taken care of after his departure. Now, why does he have to do that? Now, one way of saying it is, okay, he was human, he had human emotions, he's a pure devotee, but that's one way of saying it. Another way of saying it, Mother Vishakha told me, is to see that Srila Prabhupada wanted to teach us how we should deal with our social responsibilities. So whatever way we see it, but this is the reality. Srila Prabhupada repeatedly asks Tamal Krishna Maharaj about, please take care of my family. In this way. He doesn't have to. He is not obliged to. He is surrendered to Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this authenticity, this, I won't say vulnerability, but the whole idea of, yes, I am small, I'm doing my bit, and Krishna, please accept me. One of the most amazing pastimes, I would like to conclude with this, and then maybe we can have some discussions and corrections. You know, Srila Prabhupada is in Rishikesh. His health deteriorates rapidly. And they rush him to Vrindavan. This is May 1977. Devotees think Srila Prabhupada may leave the world. We all know that he didn't leave the world for another 6 months. He left in November eventually. But in May, they didn't know what's going to happen. They thought Srila Prabhupada is leaving us. So they rushed to Vrindavan. And the message has already come to Vrindavan that Prabhupada is leaving the world. And all the devotees gather in Krishna Balaram temple courtyard. And Srila Prabhupada is very fragile, very weak externally. And he sits on the chair and he begins this small address to this group of devotees by saying, what is there to worry? Death will come. Whatever we need to know is there in the books. Surrender to Krishna. And devotees start crying because they see it as Prabhupada declaring that he is leaving. And after that 10-15 minute address, Srila Prabhupada, Tamal Krishna Maharaj and I think Bhakti Charu Maharaj, a few others, they take Srila Prabhupada to his room, to his quarters. And as soon as he enters, he has just given a very powerful, heavy instruction to the disciples. But when he comes inside, he looks at Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and he falls in his arms and he says, Tamal, please encourage me. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj says, Srila Prabhupada, you've touched millions of lives, you've distributed so many books, you are the messenger of Krishna. He glorifies Srila Prabhupada, he appreciates him. And then after a few minutes, Srila Prabhupada looks at Tamal Krishna Maharaj and says, thank you, Tamal, thank you. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj takes this as an instruction. So he arranges every day, morning and evening, to devotees to come. Along with the kirtan that is happening for Prabhupada, the devotees would come and give reports to Srila Prabhupada. And that would engladden Srila Prabhupada's heart. So being vulnerable to the right kind of devotees, being authentic, like if you want to join the army, they look at your qualification. Are you strong mentally, physically? But if you want to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's army, our qualification is authenticity, being honest, being vulnerable. Yes, I'm small and I want to belong to Krishna. So in this mood, when we practice Krishna consciousness, then it is Krishna's mercy that he dissolves all our debts. But from our side, we need to be small in the mood of a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who seeks mercy of all devotees. Haridas Thakur, before leaving this world, he was chanting 192 rounds. He takes the dust from the lotus feet of all devotees. And then he leaves this world. So we need the mercy of all devotees. In this mood, when we surrender to Krishna, then Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, will dissolve us of all our debts. Otherwise, we are indebted and we need to be grateful. And expression of gratitude to our family, to our ancestors, to our, you know, to our lineage is healthy. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. I would like to pause here and maybe we can have, yes, Prabhu.
I want to understand from the purport. Thank you. First of all, thank you for a wonderful presentation. You don't need too many children. I'm just paraphrasing what you read. Just one child is enough. But then in Kapildev's, Kardama Muni's life, there was 10 children. So is it predestined? What will happen, the future outcome? Or actually, because Prabhupada, also in this canto, Prabhupada also said, what kind of child will be produced, it depends on the mental thought of the couple.
Yeah.
What went wrong? I'm not accusing, please.
Of course.
He's a supreme lord and a great sadhu. But if you need one child, then why you have to have 10 children to have one child? Or 9 children, then 10, number 10 is success.
Yeah. So it's a good question, actually. I would love to hear from others as well. You know, there are many factors involved. Parashar Muni explains this, that one is the past impressions, past activities, those things matter. But also our association, our upbringing, all of these things matter in the growth of a child. So, Gehena Karmano Gati, the Bhagavad Gita says, it's beyond the bandwidth of a living entity to figure out the whole thing. So exactly what happens, if I knew it, I wouldn't be a living entity. I would be maybe a yogi or a very highly realized person. But I think some things we'll not be able to figure out. Some things are inexplicable, actually. And sometimes they're also appearing contradictory. But we accept it the way it is. But there are principles, there are rules, like as you rightly pointed out, Srila Prabhupada also says in the third canto that the birth of the child depends on the consciousness of the parents. But Srila Prabhupada, but we've also seen that other factors are also involved. It's not this or that. It's this and that. And there are other factors also. So the combination of all of that causes a reality to occur. And as I said in the beginning of today's class, you know, sometimes we live in binary world. We want clarity, like specific clarity, but we don't get that through scriptures always necessarily. We get principles and we need to we need to receive and accept them, because we can't really figure out exactly what is happening. We can't get a formula, specific formula, because there are so many other factors involved.
I mean, there is a verse in the same canto, Karmana Devane
Netrena, yes, Chantur Deo Papatyate.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, I thought about it while you were speaking, but still, the question is Prabhupada putting it.
Yeah.
You don't need too many children to fill up the creation. You just need one.
Yeah.
So, Padmamuni is a great devotee too.
Yeah, yeah.
So, who did wrong? Somewhere, something, or maybe I'm not understanding.
Yes, maybe. Yes, Prabhu can add, maybe. Thank you.
So, I mean, within the purport, Kadamamut is a progenitor. And his business is to help to fill up the creation. So he got 9 daughters. And if you remember well, those 9 daughters would marry different sages. And they would help to populate the world. That's his role, really. I mean, he was not engaged in marriage or anything. He's the Supreme Lord.
Yes.
I mean, he founded the philosophy, which was so essential for the world. But we have to remember back the role of Kardama Muni as a progenitor. Those 9 daughters play a very vital role in increasing the population of
people.
I have a question.
Yes.
So,
see, this is a context. This is a context here. Srila Prabhupada's purports have to be taken in that context. Like, for example, in the first chapter of the Gita, in one purport, Prabhupada says, Arjuna is feeling weak-hearted. He is feeling very weak and he is confused. He is attached because he doesn't want to fight the war. And in the very next purport, Prabhupada says, his unwillingness to fight reveals his compassionate heart. So this appears to be completely contradictory. But we need to take it in that context. Here Prabhupada is emphasizing on compassion. Here he is emphasizing on, you know, weakness of the heart. Similarly, he is progenitor Kardama Muni. So, yeah, we have to take it in the context.
Yes, Prabhu. So I have this question for you, right? Let us say your father, I mean, you just become a devotee. Your father is in the hellish planet. You're supposed to be doing the Shraddha ceremony and performing Pindha every year. It's stated that when you're a pure devotee, you can release so many generations, right? But remember, you're not a pure devotee yet. You're just a bhakta, or you're just starting. And your parents are in the hellish planet. What would be their position? I mean, if you neglected that Shraddha and Pindha service, I mean, because it's stated that you're not really obligated towards 4 parents.
Yeah. I know how I resolved this. I resolved this in the Uddhava Gita, because, you know, many of us come from Indian families' backgrounds where this was considered as extremely important. To perform the annual Shraddha ceremony and all of that. And then we join the ashram and, you know, we don't do this for many years. So sometimes, you know, these doubts come. So I resolved it like this, because I'm not a pure devotee and pure devotee is not obliged, but should I do it or not do it? So in the Uddhava Gita, Lord Krishna tells Uddhava, there are a few verses in series. So he first says, Acharya mam vijaniyan nava manyeta karihichit. I forget the next 2 lines. Na martya buddha suyeta sarva deva mayo guru. Very important verse. So here, Lord, this is 11th canto, 17th chapter, text number 27. So here, Lord Krishna is telling Uddhava, that, okay, understand like this. Acharya mam vijaniyan. Acharya, founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, your guru, pure devotee. Acharya mam vijaniyan. See him as non-different from me. This is the first thing Krishna is telling Uddhava. So if I say Srila Prabhupada, that's not different from Krishna, my guru is not different from Krishna in the sense, the purpose, the, no, my guru's Prabhupada's purpose is same. So if I accept his instructions and I serve, so that is one. Acharya mam vijaniyat, nava manyeta karechit, never, never disrespect him. And then, very important, na martya buddhya suyeta, do not see him as ordinary, do not see him from material angle, because if you do that, you will become envious. So don't be envious and don't look at him, don't see him as an ordinary person. And then, the last one is most important line, sarva deva mayo guru. Such an acharya is a representative of all the demigods and all the celestial beings, is a representative of everyone else. So if we are attached to such a personality and we are genuinely serving his instructions, then we can be freed from the obligation. Again, I'm coming back to that earlier point. Technically, we may be freed, but our heart, we need to have that soft heart. In the next verse, three chapters later, Krishna gives a very beautiful example to harmonize everything. He gives an analogy to Uddhava. This is 11th canto, 20th chapter, verse number 17. He says, the very famous verse, Nridehamadyam sulabam sudurlabam plavam sukalpam guru karna dharam mayanukule nanabhaswateritam puman bhavabdir nataretsa atma. He says, human body is like a good ship. If you have a human body, that means you have a strong ship. And a ship needs a good captain. And your spiritual master is the captain of the ship. And my instructions, O Uddhava, what I've spoken in the Bhagavad Gita and what I'm speaking here, all of this is like favorable winds that help the ship go smoothly. And one who doesn't utilize this human form of life with the help of a guru and scriptures, he is a killer of the soul. So Krishna is saying that we can harmonize all these conflicting duties and obligations if we are attached to a pure devotee and also studying the scriptures, and in that mood, if we are sincerely, humbly serving, I think Krishna will, hopefully, out of his causeless mercy, will excuse us of all the obligations that we have. Hare Krishna. Yes, Mataji.
Thank you, Maharaj, for coming and going through the trouble in the airport and everything just to come and give your association to us. Thank you.
Thank you.
In the beginning, you said that a Brahmin, when Lord Chaitanya left the Goddess of Fortune, a Brahmin had cursed him. What incident is that?
Oh, yeah. Lord Chaitanya, used to do this kirtan at Srivas Thakur's house. And that was a very close group kirtan. Not everyone was allowed. And many people would bang on the door to be allowed inside. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't allow. So one Brahmin got very angry. One day he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walking in the bank of Ganga. He said, Nimai, why don't you allow me to come for your kirtan? And Nimai just smiled. He didn't say anything. So then this Brahmin took out his sacred thread and he broke it and he pronounced a curse. He said, may you never enjoy the happiness of material life. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, thank you very much. Thank you. Yes.
So Prabhu, you were mentioning about your friend who broke down, yeah?
Yeah.
And we all kind of went through the situation where we joined the temple and our parents were whatever, and we were encouraged to do so. And if I have to go through that again, I would love to go through that again. I wouldn't want it any other way. But however, as years pass by, we realize, we did something wrong and we repent. And sometimes with our maturity, you may call it, I guess it is, or it's not, I don't know. But nowadays we hesitate to preach to people like that.
Like what?
Like give up everything and join the temple because we are hesitant to. From our own realization, we've seen, although as I said, I would love to go it again. If I have to go, I would do it again. I loved what I went through and brought realizations. But yet for others, we think, oh, maybe it's you know. So could you say something?
It's beautiful. That? Thank you. Thank you for sharing this, asking this. Yeah, when I was a younger preacher, I wanted people to do what I did. Come on, join the ashram, surrender to Krishna, because I thought I surrendered to Krishna. And we made a lot of young boys as brahmacharis. But now I'll tell you what is happening at the age of 54. I see younger devotees, including my own struggles and challenges. Now when I look back, when I see a young boy who has this sparkle in his eyes, you know, that joy, that excitement to give everything to Krishna. And when I look at him, because I revisit my youth. I also feel energized when I see young boys coming to the temple. So I tell him, yes, surrender to Krishna. And he says, yes, Prabhu, I want to give up everything and just surrender to Krishna like you. I'm like, okay, that's great. But there are many closely guarded secrets even in the renounced order. In the sense, there's pain, there is struggle, it's not easy. So now he has got this innocence. So I don't want him to feel when he's 55 that I was not told about the challenges ahead. So then I take him aside. I tell him, I encourage you to join. I encourage you to surrender everything. But please know, this is not, don't join because you're looking for a happy and comfortable life. There's challenges. Are you ready to embrace pain? Are you ready to live with the choices that you make? So, and also the second very important point, I'll tell you what is happening. When young boys want to join, and they are looking up to me, Prabhu, I just want to serve you. I'm like, no, serve Prabhupada. No, it's all easy to say this, but you know, eventually people want that connection. I ask myself, am I willing to take responsibility for this young boy for the rest of his life? Can I take care of him? No, Krishna will take care of him. So let Krishna only inspire him to do service or take a decision in life. When it comes to service, I give him service. But when it comes to his emotional need, I say, Krishna will take care of you. So my conscience didn't allow me to do that. So I said, okay, I can't take responsibility for your emotional life for the rest of your life because I don't know where I will be 10 years from now. I'll be dead and gone. I don't know what will happen to you when you are older. So please know there are challenges. Prabhupada will take care of you, I'm sure. But how that care will manifest, it may not manifest the way you want to. So then what I do nowadays is I focus on Krishna. Connect to Krishna, love Krishna, and let Krishna inspire you to join if that's what you want. Rather than I telling him join, because then he joins because I'm telling him. But then I'm not taking care of him. I'm not taking responsibility for his growth. I'm just giving him service, which is great. Service will purify him. But what responsibility am I taking for a young soul who is coming to Krishna? So that question disturbs me, and therefore I encourage people to surrender to Krishna, hear Prabhupada's classes, and then go by that inspiration. You feel inspired? Join. But not because I'm telling you to join.
I think we all, you mentioned connection. And I think it's important that we need connection.
Yeah.
And if I think about what connected me is philosophy, but the devotees.
Yes.
The connection that I had with the devotees, that fact that they express love, that they express encouragement. And so connection has to be there at any stage. And so in one sense, how can you say to them, be connected to Krishna? And because
I'm there, of course, also. We are also there. Mm-hmm. But decisions have to be taken not because I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. That's the point. So there is one lecture of Srila Prabhupada, July 5, 1971. It's my favorite class. It's a 15-minute talk given in Los Angeles. And why I like this class very much is Srila Prabhupada has given us a template on how a person could join. You know this famous story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meeting that South Indian Brahmin who was reading Bhagavad Gita and was illiterate. Srila Prabhupada narrates that story, and Srila Prabhupada says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking him, but you are not reading, you are crying. Why are you crying? And the Brahmana said, I am not reading, I am feeling. What is that? I'm repeating as it is because I've heard it so many times. So Srila Prabhupada says, what is that feeling? The Brahmana said, when I'm reading Bhagavad Gita, I'm feeling my Krishna has become chariot driver for Arjuna. Krishna is so nice. Krishna is so kind. When I feel like this, I start crying. And then Prabhupada says, this is Krishna consciousness. This is the meaning of love of Krishna. This is how we practice bhakti. Devotees should feel Krishna is so nice. Krishna is so kind. And then later on in the class, this I think at least few times Prabhupada mentions in the class that loving Krishna means feeling Krishna is so nice, Krishna is so kind. But then later on in the class, Prabhupada says, you know, he quotes that famous verse, Aradito yadi arimna, aradito yadi tapasa tata kim. If you don't love Krishna, then what is the use of all the things you are doing? And what is the use of all this? What is the use of? Yeah, naradito. And if you're not loving Krishna, then what is the use of doing all of those things? And if you are loving Krishna, then what is the use of all of those things? Like that. So then Prabhupada says, and you want to please me? Devotees ask, how can I please you? And when I was hearing that first time, I was like very attentive. Wow, Prabhupada is going to tell us how we are going to please him. Prabhupada is saying, so you want to know how to please me? And I'm like, as I'm hearing, yes, yes, I want to know. And Srila Prabhupada says, that is your business. You will know. I'm like, yeah, but how? You will know. I heard it many times, Mataji. I'm telling you, I got confidence that Prabhupada wants us to love Krishna. He wants us to trust our relationship with him. But I'll tell you a simple example. There are some issues, you know. I'm not getting answers in Prabhupada's purports, but I'm getting the answers when I pray to Prabhupada and trust my relationship with Prabhupada. I'm getting answers for three issues right now facing our movement on a practical preaching level at my level in India. I don't know the scene in US. I'll tell you the three problems I'm facing. One is, how do we take care of devotees who have spent more than 30 years in the renounced order? How do we take care of devotees who are more than 50 years of age? Now, during Srila Prabhupada's time, most of the devotees were very young. And even there, if you see the way Prabhupada dealt with Satswarup Maharaj, Kirtananda Swami, Gaur Govind Maharaj, Radha Govind Maharaj, they were all a little older. And Srila Prabhupada was treating them a little differently. And with the younger boys, he was a little tough. But now, at that time, nobody was more than 5 or 6 years in the movement, 10 years in the movement. Today, we have devotees, brahmacharis, who spent 30 years, and sometimes they feel lonely, sometimes they feel not understood. And how do we take care of them? What does Srila Prabhupada talk about older devotees? So what I do when I'm taking care of them or I'm doing something, I pray to Prabhupada, and I trust my relationship with Prabhupada, and based on my study and hearing of Prabhupada, I give them advice or I do whatever needs to be done. Second, how do we take care of children? Srila Prabhupada has given many instructions. But during Prabhupada's time, all these children were 5, 6, 7 years old. But now parents come with problems of teenage children. I want to know, what does Prabhupada say about teenagers? How do we take care of teenagers? So there again, I face some bottlenecks sometimes. And then how do we cooperate with our God brothers on the same project? Like many times during Prabhupada's time when devotees had conflicts, Prabhupada encouraged them to start. You know, that's how it expanded. But now we want devotees to be in the same project together. Of course, we get Prabhupada's instructions. There are many letters. But still, you know, we need to trust our relationship with Srila Prabhupada as our movement is growing. And that also means trusting this young boy or young girl who are coming to Krishna. Surrender, but surrender because you are being inspired by Prabhupada. I'm there for you. I will love you unconditionally, but I can't decide for you. You know, in earlier days, our authorities decided for us. And then when we were troubled, the authority was not present. And then there were burnouts. So better we encourage them to surrender to Krishna. Better to under-promise and over-deliver. I think in the past, we over-promised and under-delivered.
So I do that with all the boys I'm preaching to. Like I tell them, yeah, you join if you want to. And I'm always there on his birthdays, when he's sick. But I don't want to take responsibility for him because I don't know if the institution will take care of him the way he wants to be taken care of. So all of those dynamics are there. And I'm sorry I went on a rant. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. So should we stop here? It's 9. Yeah? Yeah. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.